KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 7:06, it's cloudy and 18 degrees. We look for a chance of flurries today, otherwise a mostly cloudy sky and a high around 28. Good morning, I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News, brought to you by Lindemann Tractor, offering you farm equipment that works as hard as you do. A Kansas man charged with the Nebraska collision deaths of four Southwest Iowa motorcyclists has taken a plea deal. Hazar Cisneros Hernandez of Liberal, Kansas, pleaded no contest Tuesday in Ogallala, Nebraska, to reckless and willful vehicular homicide. Prosecutors dropped three more counts and two other charges in return for his pleas. His sentencing is scheduled for April 3rd. Prosecutors have said Cisneros Hernandez's vehicle hit two motorcycles carrying two people each on July 1st, 2017, near Ogallala. Two of the people were James and Sheila Matheny from Bedford. The other motorcyclists were Michael and Geraldine Weiss, who lived in Council Bluffs. Sheriff's deputies in Montgomery County last night arrested 26-year-old Matthew Dwayne Baker of Red Oak. Baker was taken into custody for being a felon in possession of a firearm. He was transported to Montgomery County Jail and booked in on a Class D felony offense. Baker was being held in the jail on a $5,000 cash-only bond. Mills County Emergency Management officials said Tuesday that in the regular meeting of the Mills County Board of Supervisors held on Tuesday, the board signed an application to be submitted to the Federal Emergency Management Agency, or FEMA, for funding under the Hazard Mitigation Grant Program on the property buyouts for the unincorporated area of Mills County. The total cost of the project is $17.3 million. In conjunction with the application, the board also signed a resolution authorizing the local match of 15% for the project, or $2.6 million. 75%, or $13 million, of the funding will be federal funds, and the remaining 10%, or $1.7 million, will be funded through the state of Iowa. Mills County officials anticipate the application will be submitted to FEMA later this week, and local authorities expect a 30 to 60-day time frame for FEMA to review, process, and award the funds to Mills County. Local match funds are expected to be provided through a CDBG, or Community Development Block Grant, and other funding sources instead of the Flood Recovery Fund, as had been originally planned. On February 6th, local officials and engineers will meet with members of the Iowa Flood Board in Des Moines to discuss and identify time-sensitive projects located within the various levee and drainage districts in Mills County. The Interim Mortgage Assistance Program is still active, officials say, and available to those qualified individuals in need of assistance. Officials encourage those qualified individuals in need of assistance to fill out the application on the Mills County Flood page or in person at the Mills County Auditor's Office to begin the process. As a reminder, property owners must provide a mortgage statement from the lender, a forbearance letter if applicable, and tax and/or insurance statements if not paid through an escrow account, along with any other correspondence with the mortgage holder that shows the need for assistance. Qualified property owners should contact SWPCO, the Southwest Iowa Planning Council, by email at swpco@swipco.org or by telephone at 1-866-279-4720 if they have any questions. State Fire Marshal Dan Wood has lifted the ban on open burning in Mills County. His actions followed a request by fire chiefs in each fire district in the county. The burn ban was officially lifted Monday morning. It had been in effect since December 27th. And state climatologist Justin Glisson says the above normal precipitation and temperatures defined the weather for the month of January.
The statewide average temperature was 22.8 degrees, and that's about 3.4 degrees above average. If we're looking at precipitation, preliminarily we were at about an inch and a half across the state, and that's just over half an inch above normal. Now, if we consider snowfall across the state, the average was 11 inches, and that's just about 3 inches above average.
Glisson said much of the month of January was a bit on the gloomy side with numerous consecutive days of cloudy weather.
We had a lot of cloudy days. We were stuck in a stagnant weather pattern, especially the last half of the month, where we had a lot of fog, a lot of overcast skies, and this can be attributed to the snowpack that we had across the state, and we had some warmer air masses moving over that snowpack, so we do get a proclivity to have more fog and cloudy conditions.
He says there's not a true picture right now on how warm or cold this month might be.
We're not getting a very good signal in terms of temperature. It's what we call EC, or equal chance of above, below, or near average temperatures.
And he says there is a slightly better indication on the precipitation for the month. They look at precipitation and have a slight signal for below average wetness in the southern part of the state. And then again, this EC in the rest of the state. Glisson said in the short term that is a slightly wetter than average outlook for the start of February. In the funeral announcements, Lynn McCord, age 94, of Harlan, died Saturday. Funeral services for Lynn McCord will be tomorrow at 10:30 at the Burmeister Johansson Funeral Home in Harlan. Dale Rush, age 90, of Griswold, died Saturday. Memorial services for Dale Rush will be tomorrow at 10:30 at the Central Church of Christ in Griswold. Reacon Doon Funeral Home of Griswold has arrangements. Jim Bass, age 68, of Adel and formerly of Greenfield, died Friday in Des Moines. A massive Christian burial for Jim Bass will be held tomorrow at 10:30 at the St. Boniface Catholic Church in Waukee. Steen Funeral Home in Greenfield has arrangements. Bernice Johansson, age 101, formerly of Audubon, died Sunday in Grimes. Funeral services for Bernice Johansson will be held Thursday at 11 a.m. at the First Presbyterian Church in Audubon. Kessler Funeral Home of Audubon has arrangements. Michael Trotter, age 40, of Atlantic, died January 29th. Graveside services for Michael Trotter will be Friday at 3 o'clock in the Menlo Cemetery. Roland Funeral Home of Atlantic has arrangements. Dean Williams, age 80, of Stewart, died Sunday. Memorial services for Dean Williams will be held Saturday at 10 o'clock at the First Congregational Church of Stewart. Johnson Family Funeral Home in Stewart has arrangements. Luella Hansen, age 88, of Walnut, died Monday. Funeral services for Luella Hansen will be on Saturday at 10:30 at the Peace United Church of Christ in Walnut. Paulie Jones Funeral Home in Avoca has arrangements. Edna Paulson, age 98, of Harlan, died Sunday. Funeral services for Edna Paulson will be this Saturday at 10:30 at the Paulie Jones Funeral Home in Harlan. Philip Madsen, age 96, of Harlan, died Sunday. Funeral services for Philip Madsen will be Saturday at 1:30 at the Paulie Jones Funeral Home in Harlan. Lucille Raniger, age 97, of Manning, died Friday. Funeral services for Lucille Raniger will be held Monday at 10:30 at the Zion Lutheran Church in Manning. Odie Funeral Home in Manning has arrangements. And Mike Bates, age 61, of Omaha, died Friday. No services are planned at this time for Mike Bates, who is a 1977 Atlantic High School graduate and the son of Dorothy and the late Max Bates. Our news was brought to you by Lindemann Tractor. Lindemann Tractor is good news for your blues. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.